على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ایک مرتبہ باواز بلند درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کریں۔ اللهم صل علی سیدنا ونبینا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والکرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحکم وعلی آلہ وصحبہ وبارک وسلم۔ سیدنا ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ said کہ ما رأیت احسن من رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، I have never seen anyone more beautiful than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala also said ke kaanna shamsa tajri fi wajhihi, it was as though the sun was roaming around in the blessed face of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then he also said ke wa kana asra'u an-nasi mashiyatan, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the fastest in walking. When we used to walk with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would walk in such pace and such speed that we would find it difficult to keep up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would be freely walking without any stress. So he was naturally really fast when he walked. And it is said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's physical body was so perfect that he was neither tall nor was he short. In every manner the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was moderate. And now at the age of 25, as we heard yesterday, Sayyida Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu ta'ala anha proposed her hand in marriage to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, before she sent a proposal via Safiya bint Umayya, who was a friend of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she went and she proposed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before she did that, she asked a few other people about the characteristics of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they all confirmed that his character has no example. He never lies, he never deceives people, he is always honest, he is known as the Al-Amin and As-Sadiq. There was a person who later became a Sahabi, his name was Abdullah ibn Abil Humasa. He, after he accepted Iman, after the I'lan of Nubuwa, he said that once I was in a business deal, a transaction with Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I paid half of the payment to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said to him that, wait here, I shall return in a moment with the rest of the amount. And he says, I left. Said, when I left, I completely forgot and I didn't return. One day passed, I still didn't remember. 2 days passed, the third day I remembered that I promised that I would return and give you the rest of the money. So then he immediately stands up and he goes to the place where he made this business transaction with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, when I got there, I was surprised to find the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still waiting there. And when I came, he did not show any sign of anger. He showed no sign of anger. He simply said, "Kaha gaye the? Where were you for all this time? I have been waiting here for 3 days." This was the manner of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing from the world, from the worldly affairs, ever made him angry. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha in a narration in Bukhari, she says as well that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never became angry, or he never took revenge. He never took revenge for a worldly affair or a worldly matter. It was only when it was a matter to do with the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed anger. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he accepts the proposal of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha after consulting his uncle Abu Talib and his other uncles and family members that were alive. They all agreed and they fixed a date for the marriage. The family of Quraysh, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his uncles, they all went for this function of marriage, for this function of nikah. And the nikah happened in exchange of 20 camels and a certain amount of gold that was given by Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave the mahar of the nikah. And the nikah occurred. Before the nikah, Abu Talib stood up and gave a speech. He gave a khutbah. In that khutbah, he mentioned the fadail, the virtues of Quraysh. He talked about them being from the family of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And then Abu Talib mentioned the fadail, the virtues that he had seen in Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there he talks about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's honesty, his beauty, his integrity. And he also says that he is the most virtuous amongst all the Quraysh that are alive. In other words, he accepts that he is more virtuous than himself and all his children, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more virtuous than his uncles. And this was based on the character of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Waraqa bin Nawfil, he stood up. He is the cousin of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, the son of the uncle of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And in another narration, it says it wasn't him that stood and gave the lecture, it was another uncle of Sayyida Khadija. It was an uncle of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. He gave a lecture and then the nikah occurred. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha gave everything that she had to Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continued his life as a tradesman, as a merchant, and until he reached about the age of 35. Every child of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam besides Sayyiduna Ibrahim radiallahu anhu are from Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. She is the mother of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many ahadith has mentioned the virtues of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And after reading the virtues of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, it is apparent that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Sayyida Khadija more than any other of his blessed wives radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. He himself said once that the best of all women is Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha said that I never wished to be anyone else other than myself. I never wished to be any of the other wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam but Khadija radiallahu anha. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not tolerate any disrespect or anything negative about Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, and he would always praise Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Up to the extent that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says, she said that at times the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sacrifice an animal, and this is after Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha has passed away. He would sacrifice an animal, and after the animal was cut into pieces, he would send pieces of the meat, of that meat, to the friends of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also made statements like, Khadija radiallahu anha was the one who supported me when nobody else supported me. She is the one who accepted me when none other accepted me. She was the one who always came to my help and came to my support. When people spoke negatively about me, she was the one who spoke positively about me. And in that manner, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always express his love for Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his marriage with Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, gained an even higher status amongst the people of Quraysh. Because I already mentioned yesterday the status of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha amongst the people of Makkah. After the marriage with Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the akhirah and the maratib in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, without doubt, were raised because of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the eyes of the people of Makkah, the status of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raised due to the marriage with Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Now people already used to consult the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their affairs. Whenever there was a dispute, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one of the people of Makkah that people used to come to in order to resolve their matters, because they all knew that he was so wise and he was so honest and he was never biased and he only supported the truth. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the age of roughly 35, and an incident occurs with the Holy Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It rains in Makkah, and because Makkah is between mountains, this massive wave of water comes from the mountains and it washes away a lot of the cement from the Holy Kaaba, which causes the Kaaba, some of the walls of Kaaba, to fall, and the building of Kaaba becomes damaged. So the Quraysh and the people of Makkah get together and they agree to rebuild the Kaaba and secure it for the future. So they get together, they agree, and they start working on building the Kaaba. And there are many tribes in Makkah, and remember, this is the time of Jahiliyyah, when they start fighting for small issues and minor issues. The Halful Fudul had already happened. They had made an agreement and pact that they won't fight. So no fight broke out at this time. They agreed to take on different responsibilities. So each tribe was given a different responsibility in terms of building the Kaaba. And the building of the Kaaba begins. They remove the Hajar-e-Aswad and they have it placed in a secure place, and they start building the Kaaba. And this is where I mentioned a narration from Bukhari Sharif yesterday, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself took part in lifting the stones and the heavy rocks in order to bring them to the Kaaba. So they were cut and then placed in the walls of the Kaaba, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lift them and place them on his shoulder. When Hazrat Sayyiduna Abbas radiallahu anhu, his uncle, said, "Ij'al izaraka ala raqabatik," that place your lower garment onto your shoulder and then place the rock on top. In that way, it will not damage your body or your skin. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attempted to do that, he fell. Fakharra ala al-ard. It is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to expose his satr even before the i'lan of nubuwa. And it was clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam free from all types of aib, from all types of faults and defects, which I mentioned yesterday. Now after the Kaaba has now been rebuilt, it is now the time to bring the Hajar-e-Aswad, the black stone, and place it into the Kaaba. And the tribes start arguing that it is our tribe that has the right to bring the Hajar-e-Aswad and place it in its position in the Kaaba. And arguments occur and they all start fighting amongst each other. And it is near that they start killing each other. That was the time of Jahiliyyah. People had taken their swords out because they wanted to be the ones who would lift the Hajar-e-Aswad and place it into its position, that it was to remain in that position for the future. And for them, it was a great honor to do that. And the tribe that would do that, their honor would be raised, their status would be raised amongst the people of Makkah and the whole of the Arab world, because news would spread that it was this tribe that placed the Hajar-e-Aswad in its place after its rebuilding. So these tribes started arguing and fighting amongst each other. People had removed their swords from their sheaths and they were ready to kill each other. There was one tribe that actually cut their hand, gathered their blood in a container, and then they all dipped their fingers in the blood and licked the blood. And this was a sign of taking oath that we will kill anyone who comes in front of us. We are the ones who will take the Hajar-e-Aswad and place it in the Kaaba. So you can imagine how these people, the mentality of these people was at that time. They were ready to kill each other. When an old man came amongst them, gathered them together, and he said to them that, look, don't fight amongst each other. Uphold the Halful Fudul. Uphold that pact that you agreed upon of not fighting each other. And let's decide on a person who will make the decision amongst us. They all asked, how shall we decide? And night had occurred. It was the time of night. And they said, the first person who enters the haram from outside at the break of dawn, let's accept that person as our decision maker, as our Faisal. Whatever he decides, we shall all accept. So they all wait. And at the break of dawn, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined Sayyiduna Al-Amin Al-Sadiq Muhammad Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the haram. He is the first one to enter the haram. When he enters the haram, these people spend the night thinking, Allah knows who will enter the haram. He may be a complete ignorant person who has no wisdom at all. What will happen? What decision will he make? So they were all scared and frustrated. What will happen? But when Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the haram at the break of dawn, they all shouted in excitement and happiness, Al-Amin al-Sadiq, Al-Amin al-Sadiq, Al-Amin al-Sadiq, that he is the trustworthy, he is the truthful. He is the trustworthy, he is the truthful. So they were all pleased and happy that the decision he will make will be fair, and the decision that he will make will not be biased towards any tribe. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, they all told him sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the matter and you are to decide. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his upper garment, the shawl that he was wearing, and he laid it down on the floor where the Hajar-e-Aswad was. And then he lifted the Hajar-e-Aswad and he placed it in the middle of the cloth. And then he said that each of you tribes must choose one representative from amongst the tribes. So each tribe chose a representative and they came forward, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to hold on to a part of the shawl. So all the tribes of the people of Makkah got the opportunity to lift that shawl in which the Hajar-e-Aswad was. And they all together took it to the Kaaba. And when they took it inside the Kaaba, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted the Hajar-e-Aswad with his own hands and placed it in its place. And in that manner, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saved and safeguarded many lives, because they would have killed each other. That time of Jahiliyyah was such that they would have killed each other, bloodshed would have occurred, the streets of Makkah would have been pouring with blood. But it is Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was sent as the savior of mankind and the rahmatul lil alameen, that he saved the people of Makkah from that bloodshed. This is only one incident whereby the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam resolved matters amongst the people of Makkah. The truth was that many a times people would come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to resolve their matters, because they all acknowledged and accepted his wisdom, his knowledge. Although they knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had never sat in the feet of a wise man or an old man. He never sat in the feet of a teacher. He never sat in the feet of a wise man. He was not taught by anybody. They knew that. Nobody taught him how to write. He never went and sat with someone, teach me how to write. They all knew that. But they still acknowledged that he was the most wise amongst them. He was the most knowledgeable amongst them. They knew that he was the most honest and the most truthful amongst them. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now reached the age where Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha allowed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, they both did mashwara with each other and they both decided that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not engage in trading anymore. So he stopped doing business, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent most of his time contemplating and thinking and seeking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was meditating most of the time in the day and night, and he was engaged in thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him absolutely pure and free from all faults. And now comes a time when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is engaging most of his time in worshipping and thinking and meditating about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari Sharif, it says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَىٰ, that he began to love being alone and secluded. He didn't like living amongst the people, where people would use bad language and they would lie and deceive each other and they would listen to musical instruments and they would gamble and they would drink alcohol. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped engaging with people. He started to think and contemplate and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith narrated by Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha in Kitabu Badil Wahy, in the very beginning of Bukhari Sharif, where Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Kana yakhlu ila ghari hira," or bi ghari hira, that he started secluding himself in the cave of the Mount Hira. So he would travel all the way to Hira, which was outside Makkah, and he would climb onto this mountain, and there was a cave in there, there was a thaqab, a hole inside the mountain, which is a cave, and he used to go and sit there, and he just used to worship. The words in Bukhari are yatahannath, and it says وَهُوَ يَتَعَبَّدْ, and yatahannath means that he used to do ta'abbud, he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was as though he was completely leaving everything from amongst his necessities of life and just devoting himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it reminds me of a shared of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an says, ke be nishano ka nisha mitta nahi. Be nishano ka nisha mitta nahi, mitte mitte naam ho hi jayega. Yani be nishan, yani the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was be daagh, be aib. Nobody could lift a finger and point a finger that he did this wrong or he did that wrong. You know, after the ilan of Nubuwa, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced prophethood and spoke against the adyan-e batila of the people of Makkah, those who worship the idols, they tried to dig the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried to find out what he used to do in his childhood, what he used to do in his teens, what he did in his 20s, in his 30s. They tried to find faults, but they could not find any fault in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the ilan of Nubuwa. Even today, it is the manner of humans that whenever somebody reaches a position of responsibility, people start digging their history, trying to find out what he used to do. And the truth is, it doesn't matter where you come from, what matters is where you are heading. And that's what people should do. You should leave the past behind. But for the Anbiya-i Kiram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them pure from before the i'lan of Nubuwa, even after the i'lan of Nubuwa. As I already mentioned yesterday, that the books of Kalam, the Ilmul Kalam, the books of Aqaid, have clearly said that the messengers of Allah and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were protected, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them ma'soom from all types of aid, because the mission was to attract the people, not move the people away from them. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was be-nisha. You could not point a finger and find a fault. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says, never mind all them, Uyub in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, tere to wasf aib-e-tanahi se hai bari, hairahu mere shah kya kya kahu tujhe. So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was completely free from all types of aib. Be nishano ka nisha mitta nahi. They could not eradicate the nishan, yani the shan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what they did, the people of Makkah, they could not eradicate the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam status, his fame that Allah had given him, his beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given, that Allah had given to him. They could not. De nishano ka nisha mitta nahi. Mitte, yani when he finishes himself on Allah, yani Allah ki ibadat mein mitte, Allah ki muhabbat mein mitte, naam ho hi jayega. And that is reality. With the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no doubt. There was no doubt that he was to become the greatest. He was already the greatest, but his announcement, the announcement of him being the greatest, was to happen no matter what. But this share of Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala is really a nasiha. It is a piece of advice for us that if you want to become a person who is known amongst the people, who is remembered amongst the people, then you must finish yourself. Completely vanish and humble yourself in the feet of the Buzurgan-e-Din, the Ulama-e-Kiram, the Awliya-e-Kiram, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will humble yourself so much that you think of yourself as absolutely nothing, then Allah will automatically give you a name. And that is reality. Today there are people who rush after all these different movements and these different organizations that let me go there, in order to seek for fame and name. They want to have some sort of a name. And the truth is that if you want a name and if you want fame, you want riches, you want wealth, everything you will find in the feet of the Buzurgan-e-Din, in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you will finish yourself in the feet and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will give you everything. If you ask a man who is in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he has nothing in his pocket, he has nothing in his ownership, and if you ask him that, are you a poor person? He will say, no, I am the richest man alive on earth. Because he has finished himself in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has become content and he is happy and he does not need anything else. And being content with what Allah has given you is what brings satisfaction in your heart. Otherwise, people who have wealth and people who have riches, they never find satisfaction. They will never find that I have enough. It is only those people who have religion in them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that satisfaction in their heart. Now the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is completely devoted in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come home, he used to pack food and drink, and then he used to go back to the Ghar-e Hira, to the cave in the Mount Hira, and he used to be engaged in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was his manner. And he reached the age of 40. When he reached the age of 40, one day when he was in the Ghar of Hira, suddenly a malak, an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeared. And this was Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam appeared and he said, Iqra, to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was amazed, he was shocked at this appearance of this angel, and he replied, Ma ana biqari. He said, I am not a reader, I am not a reciter, or I will not recite. Now the thing is that in the Arabic language, when somebody says Ma ana biqari with an isme fa'il, it could be like somebody asks you, will you come with me to the market? And he says, Ma ana bidhahib, I won't go, or I don't want to come. So that's what it could mean. Ma ana biqari, I don't want to read, or I will not read. That's a possible meaning of Ma ana biqari. Another meaning is that I am not a qari. I am not a qari. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a qari. In terms of amongst the people of Makkah, he was not a reciter amongst them. He would not stand and recite poetry amongst them. So in that manner, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am not a reciter. You are asking me to recite, I am not a reciter. This is one possible meaning. Now there are some people who say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that I can't read. I don't know how to read. But it doesn't say that here. He doesn't say that in the words of hadith. He did not say, I don't know how to read or I can't read. Because first of all, logic tells you that Jibreel alayhi salam did not come with a piece of wood or leather or a piece of paper with words written on it and he was asking him to read. It wasn't like that. So why would he say, I can't read? Because he's not being asked to read. So that's nonsense. He wasn't asked to read. He didn't say, I don't know how to read. He was asked to recite, in other words, repeat after me. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply said, I will not read, or I am not a qari, why are you asking me to read? Or the wisdom could be that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not recite because he did not tell the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what to recite. Because in the Arabic language, there are different types of verbs. There is a verb known as fa'l muta'addi. And a fa'l muta'addi is a verb which is not complete without an object. A verb has a subject and an object. And a fa'l muta'addi, a verb which is muta'addi, needs an object. It's incomplete without the object. So if somebody says qara'a zaydun, zayd recited, it's not a complete sentence because there has to be something else there. What did he recite? You're not giving complete information. So you say, قَرَأَ زَيْدٌ قُرْآنًا. Zayd recited the Qur'an. Then that makes sense. That's a complete sentence. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, اقرأ, he was saying, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ, which could mean, what shall I read? That's a possible meaning. It could mean, what shall I read? Because there was no object after the verb. So then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he said, اقرأ, I replied, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. Then he says that he got hold of me, فَأَخَذَنِي. He got hold of me and then he squeezed me, فَغَطَّنِي. فَغَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجُهْدُ. And these are the words in Bukhari, narrated by Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, that Jibreel alayhi salam got hold of me and he squeezed me. He embraced me and he squeezed me. Hatta balagha minni al-juhd. Now, many people translate this as he squeezed me so much that all my strength finished, meaning I had no strength left. However, according to the Arabic grammar, the correct translation is minni does not mean my strength. It means because of me, all the strength of Jibreel had finished. Yani Jibreel alayhi salam squeezed me with all his strength. That's what it means. Yani Jibreel alayhi salam had no more strength left. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was fine. It's not that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his strength finished, it was the strength of Jibreel that finished. So Jibreel alayhi salam squeezed me with all his strength. And then he said to me again, اقرأ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I replied, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. I will not read. Or I am not a reciter. Or what shall I read? And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi salam أَخَذَنِي again. فَغَطَّنِي الثَّانِيَ حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجُهْدِ. He squeezed me again with all his strength. And then he said to me again, اقرأ. This happened three times. This happened three times. And then Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam said, اقرأ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Read or recite in the name of your Lord who created. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated after Jibreel and said, اقرأ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Now there could be the wisdom for us that do not recite or do not do anything until you start with the name of your Lord. Until you start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody tells you to do something, don't do it until you start Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a lesson for us. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. The first few verses of Surah Alaq have now been revealed. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself says that I was shocked, I was amazed at what had happened, and I was feeling extremely cold, and I came down from the cave, and I came into the home, into my home, the home of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And I was extremely cold, feeling really cold. So I was saying, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me with a shawl, cover me with a shawl, because I am feeling cold. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha was shocked on seeing the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had never been in this situation when he returned from Ghar-e Hira. So Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she says that I quickly got a shawl and I covered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Look at the destiny and the fortune of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, that she is the first one who is doing the khidmah and serving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the first revelation of the Quran. She covers and makes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feel warm, and then she says, what has happened? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha exactly what happened and how Jibreel alayhi salam came, and tells her of all that had happened. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, upon hearing this, she says that don't worry. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after telling her, he said, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fear, I have fear about what has happened. I am in fear because of what has happened. And the muhaddithin, the shariheen of the hadith, have mentioned over 20 different meanings of this khashya. What was this fear that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had? Different muhaddithin and different shariheen of the hadith have mentioned different reasons of this fear that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in his heart. And I personally prefer the meaning or the sharah of that to be that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fear for the ummah that he had to pass this message on to. And this isn't the interpretation that I have made myself, but this is one of the interpretations that the shariheen of the hadith have mentioned. And Sharih Bukhari, Mufti Shariful Haq, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has said that the most preferable interpretation of this is that this khashya that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had was the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah that he had to pass this message on to. So this khashya, when he mentioned this, that I have fear, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha said, Kalla wallahi ma yukhzik Allahu abada. Don't fear at all. Have no fear. For I know, I swear by Allah, wallahi, He will not ever let you down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never fail you, because you are the most honest man I have ever seen. You are the man who helps the poor people. You earn money and then give that money to the poor. You are the one who resolves disputes amongst people and bring families together. You are the one who hosts and feeds and gives drink to the guests that come from outside Makkah. You are the one who carries the burden of those elderly people who cannot carry their burden. I swear by Allah, Allah will not let you down or fail you in any manner. So do not fear at all. In this manner, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha supported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this crucial moment. And then Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha said, come with me to my cousin Waraqa bin Nawfil. I shall take you to Waraqa. Waraqa will know more and he will explain more in regards to this incident. And Waraqa bin Nawfil, he is the cousin of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, the son of the uncle of Sayyida Khadija. And he is an expert in the Injil, in the New Testament, the Bible. He had studied the Bible and he used to write the Injil from Ibrani into the Arabic language. He used to translate the Bible into the Arabic language for the Arabs. So he was an expert. He knew all of these issues. So Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha takes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the home of Waraqa bin Nawfil. And what happens in the home of Waraqa bin Nawfil, inshallah, we shall talk about tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.